Be extraordinary. Seventh Wave Network.
Welcome to A Call to Greatness with host, spiritual counselor, psychic, and energy management trainer, Victoria Post. In this hour, Victoria and her guests explore our individual and collective calls to greatness and support you in finding the courage and resources you need to follow through. Can you hear it? Your greatness is calling. Now here's your host, Victoria Post.
And welcome all of you to this edition of A Call to Greatness. I am Victoria Post, spiritual counselor, energy management trainer. And if you'd like to find out more information about what I do and my work, feel free to check out my website at www.spiritalize.com. On today's show, we are exploring a more collective call to greatness and what it looks like when we live a radical commitment. And we can all have our own definitions of radical commitments, what that means. But as I introduce today's guest, I want to invite you first to take a moment to look at what you are committed to in this lifetime. And how you know that is by what kind of how you act. Are we committed to being right? Are we committed to maintaining the status quo? Are we committed to bringing the best out in the people around us? What are we committed to? Are we committed to money? What is the basic commitment that drives our actions every day? And I invite you now to imagine living in a world where everyone, and I do mean everyone, governments, nations, individuals, communities, where we were all committed to caring for each other, to promoting dignity for each other, where we were committed to finding the best possible path to peace. This is exactly what we're going to explore today. This is the kind of radical commitment that my guest today actually lives by. And to introduce him, I'd like to offer you this by way of reflection. It is a song written by a woman named Karen Anderson, and she is in an affinity group of a friend of mine. I don't know a lot about what was behind the song, but it was her representation of the prayer of St. Francis. I will say the words first, and then I will sing it. And this is by way of offering you a reflection and a way to be with my guest today and a way of also introducing him. So the words are as follows. Take my hands, I give them over. Make my heart an open door. Make my life a house of spirit. Make me an instrument, nothing more. Take my hands, I give them over. Make my heart an open door. Make my life a house of spirit. Make me an instrument, nothing more. Take my hands, I give them over. Make my heart an open door. Make my life a house of spirit. Make me an instrument, nothing more. Make me an instrument, nothing more. And with that, I'd like to welcome today Father Louis Vitali. Father Louis is a Franciscan priest. He has helped found an organization, Pace Bene, which promotes spirituality and nonviolence. He also has led a poor parish in the Tenderloin in San Francisco and worked very closely with the homeless. He is active in peace and social justice movements. He's spent time in prison for his convictions, and is at this moment actually participating in a protest in Washington where he's been fasting outside the White House and the Iraqi embassy and various places. Father Louis, good morning and welcome, welcome, welcome. It's such a great pleasure to have you with me on A Call to Greatness.
Good morning, Rebecca. It's wonderful to be invited and to be here. And thank you for the beautiful song. Both Karen and I are in the same affinity group, and I know how beautiful her voice is, but yours is just as beautiful.
Well,
I love it.
You.
Yeah, thank you. It's a beautiful song.
Thank you so much.
You both mean it well.
Well, thank you. That song has really helped sustain me, and it is how I think of you.
Thank you.
It is how I think of you. You are one of the great instruments of peace. And I wonder if you would begin by just talking a little bit to the listeners, especially those who don't know you, about what your commitment is. What are you committed to? And we'll get into how you express that commitment, but just to begin with a little bit about yourself and kind of what's brought you to this point in your life.
Sort of like what makes me get out of bed in the morning.
Exactly.
Or quit the other jobs that I had or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, there was a dramatic change for me when I became a Franciscan because I was in the military in the Air Force and sort of gung-ho about defending America and all of that sort of thing. Even being equipped for nuclear weapons, even in fighter planes. And, you know, I went to become, you know, follow the instrument of peace, St. Francis Clare, as in the song you just sang. And I was so taken by the very spirit of them. I didn't know all that much about them. Even our studies of history weren't as good then, but I have learned more and more and more and imbued their spirit of transformation of our world into a world of peace, something that Martin Luther King calls the beloved community. I get up in the morning thinking, how can we make people's lives better? How can we end the violence, the woundedness, the hurt, and for the environment, too, I've come to appreciate. So it's those kind of things, making the world more livable, lovable, joyful, and with just overwhelming compassion for the people that are suffering so terribly. Now, adding another front in Lebanon, particularly, and also Israel, where children are being brutally killed and it's just so tragic. We just keep seeing to add to it and add to it. And I do anything I can to try to lessen the hurt, the pain, and to bring about peace, beauty, joy.
That's quite a tall order.
Yeah, it's a lot to do in a day, isn't it?
It is a lot to do today, and it's going to take a lot of us doing it. So as a priest and an activist, one of the things I was thinking about preparing for this show is you are a perfect example of what it looks like when spirituality and politics meet. And I see a lot of people who don't want to mix the two, who say, no, I can't listen to the news, I'm not into politics, I want to be spiritual. And you really blend them. Could you talk a little bit about how you do that, how you hold spirituality and politics in the same hand?
Well, I can't do other. I can't do other. And I remember my brother Order of the Jesuits used to be in a big thing. We used to be about in the 70s. There were big arguments about there were some people who went into social action stuff, and like the Berrigans, and some people who went into spirituality. And they were great, you know, great spiritual people like Thomas Merton or whatever. But when you started looking at it, you saw that actually the very spiritual people like Thomas Merton was also extremely involved in anti-war. And he wasn't out in front of the White House, but he was more active in motivating people all over the world in terms of peace, or Thich Nhat Hanh, or whatever people you look at like that. And then the Berrigans and people like that, who are very, very activist people, are also very spiritual people. I go to a monastery, the Kamal Dalis Monastery on the coast there in California, and it's amazing how many people come there for refuge and for recharging. Jesus, who was very active, goes apart to pray, and so do the great masters. So to me they lead one into the other, and certainly you can't be effectively active, I don't think, in terms of bringing about the beloved community, in terms of bringing real peace, unless you go deep, deep, deep spiritually.
That does make sense. What is it that, talk a little bit about what you're actually doing. How are you at this moment actually working to bring about this beloved community and bring about some peace.
You're talking about here in Washington?
No, well, just
oh, just
general.
In general.
Washington,
oh, okay.
In general, you
okay.
know, that
okay.
can be included.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I work on different levels, and I was, as you know, I was recently pastor for 14 years in the parish in the Tenderloin, and with a lot of people from all kind of different walks of life, mostly immigrant people, but a great number of homeless, and you know, my compassion really went out to them. It went out to all of the people because everyone bears a lot of suffering, but you know, particularly seeing that situation and the homeless, and we started the Gubbio Project, named after St. Francis's encounter with a wolf when he went out and met with a wolf who was devouring the town, and they agreed if the town would feed him, the wolf would look after them. You know, that we had to work out ways to get along together, and how do we run a church nice, neat, holy, and respectful with homeless people who are lying on the streets in all kinds of destitution, and you know, be able to allow them a place of beauty, joy, comfort, the place that we already had there, to allow that to be. And so, you know, reaching out with compassion to people in ways that maybe aren't being done seems to me very, very important. And this, of course, is, you know, trying to do what we can to show compassion and be involved as we can in, you know, places like Darfur or wherever it is, you know, to concern for the people and their suffering. Corporal works of mercy, we call it in the church, but at the same time, looking at the bigger pictures of, you know, yeah, but if a nuke hits us, we're all gone, you know.
Right.
And so I've had a big thing about nukes for a long, long time, and we're closer than ever. I mean, it's just terrible. We keep getting closer and closer instead of getting farther. And even our military generals, the head of General Butler, the head of all the SAC command and all of the space forces during the Clinton administration, got out and spends all his time trying to say we got to get rid of those weapons before we destroy each other. So anyway, I work on those different levels. Here at the White House, we're here and we're doing a fast to try to bring the troops home from Iraq. And very much on our front burner are the ones who are fighting our troops. Yes, they're fighting war. People are getting killed in the war, but they're also getting slaughtered, you know, just with insurgents, but you might even call that the war. But even between the two Iraq wars, something like 1 million children died from the destitution of the way the country was left. There was no water systems, sanitation systems, no medical cares. One of my brothers talked about being there in the hospital, and they said how the children were so suffering. He said, well, get him, you've got to get that baby some pain medication, that child some pain medication. He's in terrible pain. And this doctor says, there isn't any. And then he found out the only medication they have is a mother holding her baby, even while they're having surgery. That's the only anesthesia they have. It's a beautiful
wow.
one, but it tears the heart of a mother, I'm sure.
I would imagine. And when you're in situations like that, where you're working with the homeless, you're working with the destitute, I want to talk about how you hold yourself.
Okay.
It is really difficult working with marginalized people
right.
and sitting in the face of that pain. It's difficult to sustain yourself. So I want to talk a little more about
okay.
this specifically when we return in just a
okay.
moment. Stay with us. We'll be right back on A Call to Greatness with Victoria Post and Father Louis Vitale.
Your online community for positive change. Seventh Wave Network.
Can you stay present and centered even when everything around you is completely out of control? Can you find joy, meaning, and peace even when life seems to be falling apart? Can you love yourself even when your inner critic is right? The soul journey is filled with complexities that will take you from adversity to ecstasy through power and vulnerability, from magical moments of connection into deep states of loneliness, from life to death and back again. With all the twists and turns, it's no wonder that we all sometimes have to ask for directions. Victoria Post, licensed minister, clairvoyant, and spiritual counselor, can help you keep your spirit alive while surrendering to your soul's journey. Victoria's mastery is in her ability to communicate information and apply practical and powerful tools to all life situations. She has honed her natural skills through clairvoyant training and years of personal work with Temenos and the Naos Foundation School of Sacred Studies. Clients say she has a healing and calming presence, provides focus and great clarity, and gives them permission to be who they are and make their own choices in life. Victoria offers individual counseling sessions and conducts classes in voice dialogue and other energy work. Additional services include public speaking, officiating for weddings, and other rituals and ceremonies, voice coaching, and customized songs for special occasions. When you're looking for support and guidance provided with absolute integrity, whether you need to appreciate the place you've landed or find the next path to follow, call Victoria Post at 415-928-2711, extension 2, or visit her website, spiritalive.com. Victoria Post at spiritalive.com. Naturally compassionate, innately spiritual, real and down to earth.
I can take care of myself. I can make a peanut butter sandwich. I can brush my teeth and I can give myself a bath. I can walk home alone from school. I can pick dinner from the trash behind the deli. I can watch the baby for the whole weekend. I can keep a baseball bat by my bed just in case there's trouble. Don't worry about me. I can take care of myself.
If you're in jail, who'll be there to take care of your family? Something to think about before committing a gun crime. Gun crimes hit home. This message brought to you by Project Safe Neighborhoods and the Ad Council.
Be extraordinary. Seventh Wave Network.
Welcome back to A Call to Greatness with Victoria Post. If you have a question or comment, call us toll-free at 866-472-5794. Now back to the program. Here's Victoria.
And welcome back to A Call to Greatness with me, Victoria Post, and my guest today, Father Louis Vitale, a Franciscan priest who is a living example of what I define as a radical commitment. And Father Louis, part of what we were talking about before the break is your commitment is to all people, to walk with all sorts of people, the marginalized, the homeless, the suffering. And I'd like to know a little bit more specifically how you do that. It can't be easy when you're looking at the suffering. And it can't, I'm sure not all of the people that you walk with are, you know, totally wonderful and accepting of what you're trying to do.
Well, you can say that again. That's true, of course, of everybody. And I think one some things that we do is we, you know, we can disdain the people that don't seem so quite attractive to us, which means we would have probably not let St. Francis into our churches. But she looked and probably smelled like a beggar. But you know, the words of the beggar of those days when nobody had showers and all that sort of thing. But anyway, you know, so there is that idealizing sometimes of the people that are clean and neat and nice. We call them the beautiful people, but also the idealizing of the poor. The poor suffer from their own mistakes as well as those that are inflicted upon them, and sometimes they're not so attractive to be around, or they reject you rather vociferously, and it can be, you know, why am I going to waste my time with this? If that's all they're going to be, why should I do this? One of the things I had to learn a long time ago is you don't do this for the thanks. You know, if you're expecting people to be grateful, St. Francis had the realization that people who have suffered a lot feel so persecuted, so put upon, it's very hard for them to, well, in a sense, accept, or we might say forgive. And he would send his brothers to do what he did. He went and worked with the lepers and would bandage their wounds and all of that. And he would send them to that. And he said, you have succeeded when they are no longer feel offended to have you come. You know, that they feel grateful in your sincere love and care. So, you know, you have to do that. And most of the time, or many parts of the time, you won't experience that. So many wounded people on the streets. And so you say something to that and they send something rude back and you feel, oh, how outrageous. They can at least not be rude, you know, and all that. Well, when you're in that kind of situation, we all get pretty rude. At least some do. I sure do. You know, so that's part of it is to, you know, is to really accept people where they are and to try to see through that, to see the beautiful person within them. And they're there. And there's some people who are very gifted at that. They can see the beauty in everyone. And that's such a gift. Now, if they're spiritual people, like Christians should see Christ within that person, the Catholic worker movement, they always see that. Jesus says, when I was hungry, you fed me, and naked, you clothed me. They always imagine that to be the person. But however it is, to see the beauty of creation, it just evolved into this beautiful person who maybe has some ways of covering it up that are defensive.
Mm-hmm. Are there any particular experiences you've had that stand out for you that were either difficult in the beginning or surprising or transformative?
Well, I have a lot of them, you know. I was in a jail recently for 6 months down in Georgia, as you probably know from the School of the Americas. And, well, you go into a jail cell and, you know, you just feel, when I walked in, the last one I was in, I went in and I'm 74 years old and I walked in and these guys are just crowded at the bar saying, "Don't put that old man in here," you know, and stuff like, oh my God, I felt terrible. You know, it's not bad enough being arrested, but, you know, I'm intimidated, you know, what am I going to do if they put me in there? You know, what are they going to do to me, you know? And then even the cell I got into was kind of like that. They were quiet. And then I heard guys talking in the clinic the next day about, they're very careful. People come in and ask you all about your private life, but that's all that I have. You know, that's all that I have is my private life. I don't just open myself up and deliver. Well, I thought they should. I do. Well, I do, and I don't. And one, the cellmate I had the longest 3 months the last time, and he was big and powerful and in for a couple of, you know, armed robberies and stuff like that, you know, and I thought, oh, boy, you know. And there were a couple times I got a little, you know, out of sorts and maybe said something, you know. He said, you know, here, I'll do the... Well, you don't think I can sweep the floor, you know, something like that, you know, and then he got, wait a minute here, you know, and, you know, but it got kind of tough a couple of times, and one time he says, I'm not going to talk to you until we get out of here. Well, you know, all of a sudden, I realized he was looking at 20 years, you know, and I was just being me, and, you know, I just waited it out, and he came around, and he was just so beautiful. When I left, you know, he gave me a card, he gave me a gift, he wrote me, sent me a Father's Day letter here recently, and,
wow.
You know, I love you, Dad, you're just so great, and I love you, and I miss you, and, you know, and I go, oh, my God, you know, and at a point, you know, I thought, this guy could bring me to pieces if he wanted to, you know, and say I fell out of the bed, you know.
Wow.
Or I fell out of the bunk one night when I first got in, and another guy who I thought was pretty much out of God, he was so solicitous, got out and just took care of me and watched after me. And so there's been many, many ways, and I probably see it the most when, you know, the tables get turned and you see how people who you might not have, you know, recognized for their abilities. But there's been really just hundreds of people that, you know, taking somebody off the street and taking them in who was living in the bushes for years. And, you know, I know a guy named Ray in Las Vegas, and he just turned around and his life was so transformed. The children, I don't know, I go in the hospitals and sometimes do spiritual healing, and mm-hmm. then you see somebody, you know, getting around, and that's a wonderful thing, you know. So, you know, people go see Vicki Post and come out transformed, like me.
Well, thank you for that. Thank you for that. So, how do you sustain yourself in the face of what has to be challenging?
Okay, I can tell you just, again, we're here doing this fast in front of the White House, and for me it's a very spiritual thing to do. The Code Pink, the group I'm with, is very active. Boy, they just staying up all night imagining things to do and then the next morning doing them. And it's very active, and then going to the White House and going door to door is so painful because, you know, there's so much politics there. Everybody's committed to this and committed to that one, including the thousands of lobbyists that are there. And to try to get, you know, people to, like, just to get past something about a ceasefire in Lebanon, and we can't get it. You know, it's just, you know, that situation, things like that, and you get so frustrated, and the only thing that I can do, well, there's two things. One is get together with amiable people, and there's a place here where we gather some nights, and it's just wonderful, all kinds of people that have goodwill and all of that. But it's also, we have a house that a person has is open to us, and it's so wonderful to do that. But for me, I have to have the quiet spiritual time. I desperately need that. And I noticed the first week and a half, I wasn't getting it. And I went to go to another reception, and I was across the reference point was this humongous national shrine. The Catholic Church has a Catholic University. Huge, huge, huge thing. But before they built a little crypt below. And it's a beautiful little place. And I went there and spent 2 or 3 hours just in quiet prayer. And there was Mass at the end of the day. And I came out of there dancing down the steps, you know, ready to go right back. And then I went to a reception, and there were some old friends from the School of the Americas and such, and a couple that I had married, witnessed their marriage in Washington a year or two ago. And it was just wonderful to get recharged, and then you're ready to go out there again the next day. Mm-hmm. So I desperately need that.
It seems like the two things that you mentioned, quiet time and community,
mm-hmm.
are the two most difficult things for Americans to get
in
our culture.
Yeah. Well, you know, couples don't even get together because they work different shifts so they can take care of the kids or whatever. It's really rugged. I don't know how they do that. Boy, we had to be at the dinner table every night. Woo!
Mm-hmm.
But it was family.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And so, given your commitment and say, you know, you are getting some quiet time and sustaining yourself, do you feel that what you are doing is effective?
Well, you know, we talk about it, kind of like the Berrigans say, we're not here to be effective, we're here to be faithful. And I think, well, I'm here to be effective too. I I know Liz McAllister, married to Phil Berrigan, said that. I remember we talked years ago and said, well, of course we all want to see things get better, you know,
mm-hmm.
and all of that. So I do care about being effective. I won't deny that. But I think even deeper is to be faithful, because there are forces in the universe we have no idea about, spiritual powers. And like Einstein said, we've only seen the first facade of that. And Einstein, you know, who gave us the physical power that enabled us to do the atomic bomb, you know, by the
right.
his gold E equals MC squared, you know, that if you get light going to that intensity, the whole, you can change physical energy that can transform the world or blow it up. And yet he at the same time posited spiritual energy. And spiritual energy can be as great or greater. And that, as some masters have said, takes a real sense of depth, of going into the meanings of life, of awe, of compassion, and of being out there public, and then you can change the world.
So, contemplation, building awe and compassion, and going out there.
Yeah.
We're going to continue with this theme when we come back to A Call to Greatness with Victoria Post and Father Louis Vitali. In the meantime, I encourage all of you to call in with your questions and comments, and we look forward to talking with you as well when we return.
Awakened Media for a transforming world. Seventh Wave Network.
Can you stay present and centered even when everything around you is completely out of control? Can you find joy, meaning, and peace even when life seems to be falling apart? Can you love yourself even when your inner critic is right? The soul journey is filled with complexities that will take you from adversity to ecstasy through power and vulnerability, from magical moments of connection into deep states of loneliness, from life to death and back again. With all the twists and turns, it's no wonder that we all sometimes have to ask for directions. Victoria Post, licensed minister, clairvoyant, and spiritual counselor, can help you keep your spirit alive while surrendering to your soul's journey. Victoria's mastery is in her ability to communicate information and apply practical and powerful tools to all life situations. She has honed her natural skills through clairvoyant training and years of personal work with Temenos and the Naos Foundation School of Sacred Studies. Clients say she has a healing and calming presence, provides focus and great clarity, and gives them permission to be who they are and make their own choices in life. Victoria offers individual counseling sessions and conducts classes in voice dialogue and other energy work. Additional services include public speaking, officiating for weddings, and other rituals and ceremonies, voice coaching, and customized songs. songs for special occasions. When you're looking for support and guidance provided with absolute integrity, whether you need to appreciate the place you've landed or find the next path to follow, call Victoria Post at 415-928-2711, extension 2, or visit her website, spiritalive.com. Victoria Post at spiritalive.com. Naturally compassionate, innately spiritual, real and down to earth.
Dad, let's sing that bedtime song.
Rock-a-bye baby by Newton's treetop. His first law of motion, make sure you won't stop. The same rules of physics apply to a ball, while gravity is a force that makes things fall.
By the sixth grade, many girls lose interest in math and science, but it's never too early to set your daughter's future in motion. For some simple ideas, go to girlsgotech.org.
A public service announcement brought to you by Girl Scouts of USA and Ad Council.
The new home for visionary positive change. Seventh Wave Network.
Welcome back to A Call to Greatness with Victoria Post. If you have a question or a comment, call us toll-free at 866-472-5794. Now back to the program. Here's Victoria.
Thank you and welcome back to A Call to Greatness with Victoria Post and my guest, Father Louis Vitale, a Franciscan priest who is involved in peace and social justice work on a local and global level. And before the break, we were talking about this idea of Einstein bringing forward the powers of spirituality. I'm very interested because I know, you know, some people must be a little bit like I am in that sometimes it's a little challenging to get out there and do some of the activist work and get arrested and all of that. And some of us kind of want to know, how can we affect things spiritually as well as being political? So if you could address this a little bit more, Father Louis, I'd be very grateful.
Okay. Well, one thing that I like to say when talking, or I'm finding more and more need to say when talking about social change and all that, people despair and give up. Well, we can't seem to change the Congress. Everything's getting worse, you know, and all and all and all and all. You know, we're just this tiny, tiny little space in the evolving universe. You know, Teilhard de Chardin said, we're probably in early adolescence. He was a paleontologist, a scientist, a Jesuit priest, and an evolutionist. But he said we're probably in early adolescence. Well, you know how boys are in the play yard, you know. Somebody I knew who was a fifth grade teacher wanted to just build a sandbox in the back and let them go at it and give up on trying to teach them anything. But anyway, you know, they he did let them lag coins.
But, oh my.
But you know, he says that we're evolving and we don't know what's going to be 1,000 years from now or whatever. That's why I don't think this is Armageddon, the world coming to an end. But Einstein said we have many layers of energy. Well, by the way, I just walked by the Einstein Monument there in or museum, something like that, to get there by the Lincoln Memorial a few minutes ago. And besides the energy, it's the constant, the speed of light squared. He says the Z is compassion squared. You know, that if you put that together, there's Jim Douglas and others that have pursued this, put mm-hmm. it more clearly, that it's that spiritual energy is compassion squared, that can be greater than the speed of light squared, intense compassion, what Martin Luther King sometimes called a dangerous compassion, where you risk your life. I think of Tom Fox recently from the Christian Peace Team who went to Iraq, and the four of the Christian Peace Team people got held hostage, seemingly by ransom takers. But anyway, they were held hostage, and Tom Fox was killed. But he knew when he went there that there was a high likelihood of something like that happening.
Exactly.
I mean, that's an intense power, an intense spiritual power. Mm-hmm. And as that increases around the world, things get transformed. And that was Einstein's theory, that spiritual power erupts. And he says it's like lightning filling the sky, which is also a scriptural reference that fills the sky from east to west. James Douglas wrote a book on that, lightning east to west. Very,
wow.
Very powerful, mm-hmm. about how we change the world in that way. And we do see epic changes go through the world. You know, the Christians got started in the Roman Empire, which was, you know, so horribly oppressive. Thousands of people were executed, not just Jesus, and nations were crushed and all of that. And come along the time of Constantine, the Christians who wouldn't take up arms at all in those days, they do now, but in those days they wouldn't, way before the Crusades, they brought about peace throughout the world by just acts of love and care. So
it's one of the reasons that I do the work I do and that I really espouse the importance of learning how to manage, take care of, and use one's individual energy, and that gets compounded person by person by person, and when you put a community together, it's sort of exponentially that much more important to do that individually.
Yes.
So I'd like to welcome Veronica. Veronica, welcome to A Call to Greatness with Father Louis.
Well, thank you. Nice to join the program. My question was, thinking about the whole notion of getting arrested and doing things that are considered, you know, maybe a little bit breaking the law, and, you know, coming from me, who's a little bit of a goody two-shoes, and I want to do things, and I want to do good, and I want to do it kind of safely and within the system. But I was thinking, is there a point, you know, when I think about some of the people today that are doing, you know, they're speaking out and stuff, that they become the spectacle after a while, and just from myself as watching them, they start losing their credibility for their cause when they become the spectacle. And I'd like you to talk about that whole aspect and the whole, you know, are you getting arrested for your cause or to get attention for yourself, or, you know, how you handle that whole scene.
In other words, what happens when ego gets involved?
Yeah. Well, I think, you know, I believe that, and Henry Nouwen, great spiritual writer, said that the only real thing that will take your eye off the scoreboard is contemplation. It's in a book called Contemplation. He says, how do you get your eye off the scoreboard? And the funny thing is I said that to somebody that I have to be conscious of that, and he said, I didn't think you had your eye on any scoreboard. You do everything, so nobody would ever approve of what you. I said, oh yeah, we all have our own fans, you know, or a reference group, you know, who we think is, will think we're, you know, we're wonderful. But I believe that it's, well, asceticism does. Martin Luther King used to fast the first day he was in jail every time he got arrested, so he wouldn't just be looking forward to the newspaper. Maybe he had the newspaper with his breakfast, so if he didn't have breakfast, he wouldn't appreciate it so much. I don't know, but, you know, but I find that you know, when you're fasting, it's hard to get real excited about, you know, being in newspaper or on television or something like that. But I do think that, you know, there's lots of different theories about, you know, what brings about change. And I do believe that there is prayer, there is the legislative process, there are the courts, and there are the streets. And Daniel Berrigan says that, or Phil Berrigan said that, you've got to stop people and get their attention. Otherwise, you know, they'll just go on with business as usual. And I'll tell you, going around Capitol Hill, you can be very easily ignored. And I even, just the fact that I wear my brown robe around gets some attention, you know, gets people to, you know, at least listen to you. And I, you know, I don't, you know, relate to a lot of stuff. Personally, quiet silent vigil or peace prayer, or I love being in front of the Capitol even or something and singing. All we are saying is give peace a chance. We sang that last night as the Iraqi ambassador came in, you know, and I love that kind of stuff. But I know people feel that doesn't get their attention. So, you know, people do what they feel, you know, challenged to do. But and there's some people that are very frivolous, and there's some people that are even disturbed, that are on both sides for that matter.
Sure.
You know, and that's there. But I find people mostly very sincere and trying their best to do what they can. We do, and I work with Paci Bene, as was mentioned earlier, and we really work on, you know, nonviolence all the way, nonviolence in behavior, nonviolence in how loud your voice is, or how, you know, I suppose we could say courtesy. St. Francis was big on courtesy.
Courtesy, yeah.
And yet he changed the world with his means, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Mm-hmm. So if you're in a place where, let's say, you're with a group and oh, I don't know, the police come up and say, disperse. I mean, I could imagine me going, I'm running. I mean, I jump with a little bit of nervousness when somebody honks at me going, what'd I do? You know, kind of not wanting to do something wrong or not wanting to do something disobedient. And do you just smile and walk slowly? Is it your commitment that drives you? I mean, how do you do it?
Well, is there ever a time when you say, I'm not moving. I mean, just like, you, maybe you go to, you know, you go to the principal's office and they say, well, she just wasn't obedient and, you know, thank you very much. And you say, no, I'm not going anywhere. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. I mean, the first time some of my Franciscan friends got arrested, they said it was during the Vietnam War, and these were the first ones who kind of influenced me during the Vietnam War, and they were taking GIs that were trying to get out of going to Vietnam in when it was, you know, looking like it was really an immoral war. And so they had some of them at the Presidio in San Francisco, and so they went to check on him. Well, we're looking for Ben Brown and this and that, and they said, well, we don't know where he is. Thank you very much, and went to put things away. And so the guys walked outside, and then where are the girls? Where are the ladies, you know? And they went back looking for him, and they were saying, we're not leaving. We are not leaving till we find where Ben is. And I thought, that's the mother instinct. You know, they're not leaving until they find out what happened to their kids. And I've seen that happen over and over again.
That's true.
You know, it happened last night. I was at an embassy thing, and people was just sitting down. Cindy Sheehan was here, and I know people say that about her, but, you know, her son died in Vietnam, and so she was trying to get to the end of this and get this war over, and then they said, well, you know, they don't have time to meet with you, and that's just, look, this is too important. I'm just not getting out of this chair. I'm not leaving. Now, we could say, well, that's rude. Come on now. You've had your chance to say and go. Well, she has to read that as she reads it, and she has to read it by keeping in her mind that there are other mothers whose children are out there, and she's just not going to leave.
So we talked about this a little bit, kind of off the air, a little bit about how you actually find the right means to express your commitment and how that isn't always easy. You talked about that with me a little bit, that struggle of, is this going too far? How do you find the right way? How do you know?
Well, I don't think there's ever going too far. I think there is, you know, people give their whole lives, and, you know, we debate about a fast to death is going too far, but you know, even that. But I think that it is a case of sometimes there are things that behaviors that seem too offensive, and I feel I feel that we have to be sensitive to that. A lot of it, there's a man named Marshall Rosenberg who does nonviolent communication, and he's done it everywhere. He's done it with Palestine and Israel. He's done it at San Quentin, and he does a lot of it with families. And his big thing is everyone has their needs, and we have to listen to each other, and we have to communicate. And when you get somebody really offended, they're not listening. And so I don't run away from when people are doing that too often, but some places, lots of demonstrations, I won't go or I won't stay when I feel it's getting, you know, really, really insulting or anything like that. But I do appreciate the fact that we need to be listening and we need to act in a way that we can communicate. And if I just put you into a defensive corner, you're not going to hear me.
That's right. That's right. I know for myself, this is one of the ways that I interpret, you know, how do I know what to do? My basic commitment is I will not do anything that deliberately harms another spirit.
Yes, that's very, very good. Very good. And that's a good way to put it.
To do that and be honest at the same time can be very, very challenging.
Yes, yes, yes.
All right. Thank you so much, Veronica, for that call and that question. And we will be back for the final segment in just a moment. So if you have any last-minute calls or comments, there's still a little time for that. Otherwise, we will return in a moment to conclude this dialogue on A Call to Grace.
Listening on a higher dimension. Seventh Wave Network.
Can you stay present and centered even when everything around you is completely out of control? Can you find joy, meaning, and peace even when life seems to be falling apart? Can you love yourself even when your inner critic is right? The soul journey is filled with complexities that will take you from adversity to ecstasy through power and vulnerability, from magical moments of connection into deep states of loneliness, from life to death and back again. With all the twists and turns, it's no wonder that we all sometimes have to ask for directions. Victoria Post, licensed minister, clairvoyant, and spiritual counselor, can help you keep your spirit alive while surrendering to your soul's journey. Victoria's mastery is in her ability to communicate information and apply practical and powerful tools to all life situations. She has honed her natural skills through clairvoyant training and years of personal work with Temenos and the Naos Foundation School of Sacred Studies. Clients say she has a healing and calming presence, provides focus and great clarity, and gives them permission to be who they are and make their own choices in life. Victoria offers individual counseling sessions and conducts classes in voice dialogue and other energy work. Additional services include public speaking, officiating for weddings, and other rituals and ceremonies, voice coaching, and customized songs for special occasions. When you're looking for support and guidance provided with absolute integrity, whether you need to appreciate the place you've landed or find the next path to follow, call Victoria Post at 415-928-2711, extension 2, or visit her website, SpiritAlive.com. Victoria Post at SpiritAlive.com. Naturally compassionate, innately spiritual, real, and down to earth.
Adding fractions is nothing.
For real?
Look, these are denominators. You multiply this one so that it's the same as that, then you add them up.
Man, that's easy.
Charles Bennett dreamed of returning to the old neighborhood as a teacher, but without money for college, only half of his dream came true. He's back in the old neighborhood.
Well, enough math. I gotta deliver these sandwiches.
Please support the United Negro College Fund. A mind is a terrible thing to waste. A message from the UNCF and the Ad Council.
Taking you to the threshold of a dream and beyond. Seventh Wave Network.
Welcome back to A Call to Greatness with Victoria Post. If you have a question or comment, call us toll-free at 866-472-5794. Now back to the program. Here's Victoria.
And welcome back to the final segment of this edition of A Call to Greatness. I'm here with Father Louis Vitale, and we are talking about radical commitment and peace. And Father Louis, given that in my work I look at a lot of the different what are called psychological complexes that people have and their individual issues they're trying to transform, I would imagine that nations have that same thing. Do you think the peace movement is on the right track? We're trying to be rational and reasonable, and yet we're dealing with collective complexes and cultural complexes and collective patterns that are hard to undo.
Well, yes, there's a lot in that. One thing that just sticks with me, I was a year or two ago, I went to one of these gatherings that Jerry Brown had as mayor in Oakland, the big park, and he had Thich Nhat Hanh, the great Buddhist spiritual guide, and he made the comment that if you could get the U.S. Congress to do an hour of meditation before every session, you know, the world would change. And, that struck me so strong. And being here in Washington, I really believe that, you know, if we could find some way to just kind of go on the mountaintop and, you know, chase out the demons, you know, we would be able to relate to each other so much better. I'm very much, an activist, everyone says, and all that, but it's really spiritual power to me that's key, that's going to change things, and it's this power we don't see. It's not votes that we can count. It's something that happens because people, you know, people get all on the same wavelength. You know, many people talk about that. There's a whole warming spirit, not global warming, but a different kind of warming coming that the people in India talk about. That, you know, it's a power of love, power of compassion. So, you know, that's what down at the root of things changes hearts, and we have to change hearts. So we can try to illuminate people, but I don't think you can force people into anything that's really transformative, and much less violently, which is the only thing we know in the world today. Look at this
exactly.
In the Middle East. We mm-hmm. only know that somebody did something to offend us. I mean, people have exchanged hostages for hundreds of years, and when two soldiers were kidnapped, the only thing we knew to do, our friends or allies knew to do, was fire rockets, missiles, and bombs, and then just one after the other, after the other, after the other. So
it escalates.
Yeah, it takes a new, whole new approach to that.
Yeah. So, what do you think St. Francis would say about this world today if he were alive?
No, he'd probably go hide in a cave. He spent a lot of time in the caves. I think he'd go hide in a cave to start with, you know. But, you know, how would he respond? Well, I think he would go spend time in the cave, you know, to be sure that he could, you know, be really balanced. He would perhaps be aware of the beauty of creation and try to do that. But then what he did was, you know, St. Francis was, I believe, mostly converted through being in a bloody war, and in this very bloody war, and even bloodier than ours, I think, he came out of that probably with post-traumatic stress. And, you know, and then he went into caves. He was sick, and he, mm-hmm. through this nursing of his mother and all that, he came back to human life and went out in the beauty of creation and nature. And then he started going door to door, you know, wishing peace. And that's probably what he would do. He'd probably go door to door wishing peace, taking care of lepers, maybe taking care of the wounded. I saw in Bosnia there was a Franciscan, a very small little guy, and he saw all this war that was going on there a while back, and the only thing he knew to do was he would go in and try to bring out bodies and bury them. You know, whatever it is that we can do that we think might make some little difference. And then maybe there's other ways that we can reach, you know, we can reach major decision makers, you know, here on the Hill or anywhere else in the world. That happens, and they do change. Reagan and Gorbachev got together, and suddenly Reagan was calling him Darth Vader when he headed over to see him, and he said, "I know it's Darth Vader, I won't even pull anything over on you." Well, they got together, talked as human beings, opened the door, and it assigned a zero option to nuclear weapons.
Right.
But the other people didn't talk to each other, and they found ways to kind of, you know,
work around that.
But, you know, it's that kind of trying to reach people, to be open to people, like Marshall Rosenberg's kind of thing. Listen to their needs. Dan Berrigan going over to Vietnam and talking to the mothers and the people on the streets and saying everyone should do that. Everyone should go to if we could, you know, find some way of doing that. And I know it's very dangerous, and that's what the Christian Peace Team finds out. But, you know, that's what we've got to be talking to each other. We've got to start in our schools. Now they teach, like Rosenberg teaches that, nonviolent communication, nonviolent games. You know, we're so competitive. And we've got to do something about curbing our lusts, our appetites. You know, Jesus will talk about that, you know, for power and for riches and all of that, and control, you know, that we've got to be willing to settle with less. We can't all drive the cars we drive in America. It just won't happen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's not enough oil to go around, and we're ending up willing to go to nuclear war. We've stated that for oil. You know, and that's a blatant example. There's lots of other ones, and we're ready to do that
so,
in the rest of the planet,
exactly.
Universe.
So are there any words of encouragement you'd like to leave with the listeners? Encouragement or wisdom or just kind of anything to help inspire them to find their own place of radical commitment and to do what they can?
I'd say trust in the goodness of creation, whether you call it, credit that to God or however you credit it. There is enormous goodness in creation, and there's enormous creative energy, and there's goodnesses in every single human being if we can just kind of get through it, do it. So do that, you know, first of all, and don't give up. I tell people, don't give up. Please don't give up. And then do whatever you can do at whatever level. You know, within your family is probably number one. And even go give up on that, and, you know, and with other groups. And then getting together with groups and looking locally at things that are needed. And then, you know, find find some issue that you really care about. Maybe study it a little bit and see what you can do. Lots of people get in on the environmental movement. We know that global warming and all that, how desperately we need help with that. There's so many groups out there and wonderful people. You enjoy it once you find a good group to work with, and just some things that you can do at whatever level you feel comfortable. We all have different calls. People tell me, well, you have a gift for getting arrested and a gift for fasting, you know, and I also have a gift for, you know, contemplating, going off and hiding away for hours or days, weeks, months. I went to a retreat at that Kamal Dalit's place for a couple of weeks and stayed 3 months. It's just wonderful. So, you know, we have gifts to do those things. Just, but not, don't bite off too much, you know, but find something that you feel you're little, but there's billions of people out there. All you got to do is your one little thing. And some people feel it is holding a sign or carrying a cup of water or sending packages to, you know, where people are suffering from tsunami or whatever it is, and letting the compassion within you well up. But think about, how do we transform the world? What do you think would make a difference? Yourself. Listen to people that you admire or respect, mm-hmm. and follow along.
What comes to my mind, or, you know, what can you do daily?
Yeah.
One random act of kindness, one random act of effort.
That's right. That's right. That's. I mean, I first remember going to a 98-something-year-old woman's house, and she told me to get something out of her kitchen, her drawer by her telephone or something. And she had all these little cards there, and I said, what is this for? Well, that's Amnesty International. I write, you know, for where there are prisoners being held. Now today would be Guantanamo Bay or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Writing to wherever it is, whatever country, please free so-and-so, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's a family person. He needs to get home. You know, something like that. It's not a huge, big thing. She can't get out of her house, but she can do that.
Right.
Yeah.
Wow.
Or babysit for somebody who is going to go do something.
That
is maybe more risky. Yeah, yeah.
Or
this wonderful, wonderful man who took us into his house and it takes care of us. He and his wife and another lady across the street that takes care of some of us.
Mm-hmm.
Comes down and brings us fresh water and gives us a bed. You know.
That's quite wonderful. Is there somewhere people can go, say, if they want to check out the work of Pache Bene or...
Pache Bene, www.pachebene.org, I think.
Yes.
Something like that.
Spelled, Pache Bene, by the way, is spelled.
P-A-C-E-E-B-E-N-E. You don't pronounce the middle E, but P-A-C-E-E-B-E-N-E.
Uh-huh.
And it will refer you to these other things, like there is something on this Troops Fast now.com, and that's another interesting thing.
Mm-hmm. It's quite a wonderful site. There are a lot of resources.
Yeah, Pache Bene is a great group.
Yes. So, wow, this has been, these hours go far too quickly. I want to thank you, Father Louis.
Thank you, Vicki, for having me.
For everything that you've contributed. Thanks to all of you who have been listening.
And thanks to the wonderful way you keep us going.
Thank you very much. I'll do my best. And I invite you all to tune in next week to A Call to Greatness, when we will look at how to actually create your own spiritual compass. So for this week, contemplate, get out and do something to improve the well-being of this planet. Blessings to all of you, and look forward to seeing you back here soon on A Call to Greatness. Blessings again.
Thank you for listening to A Call to Greatness. To contact Victoria, visit spiritalive.com. Tune in next Wednesday for another profound hour on A Call to Greatness with Victoria Post.